to be in the house of God with the people of God. We don't take it lightly, Lord, that we have the ability to be here in right mind and in health. Father, we thank you because your blessings are new each and every day. Your mercy and your grace, we thank you for it. I pray now, Father, that the word that you have given me would go forth according to your will. As the Bible says, it won't return unto you void. I claim that promise, Lord. Let the hearts open and receive it. Let it take root and grow. I surrender myself as your vessel, Lord. Your words and your thoughts will be mine. Nothing of me remain, but only what you want brought forth today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so last week when I was studying and reading, God gave me a couple of words, and I was reading in Exodus, and I have been studying on this all week, so I want to give you what God has shown me. He told me, when I was reading about Joshua and Moses on the mountain coming down, there was something that Joshua said that just struck me, and it resonated with me all day that last Saturday, not this yesterday, but the weekend before. And it's, I'll show you, I'll read it to you. It's Exodus 32 and 17. And what is going on? Moses has been on the mountain with God. He's coming down with the commandments, as we call it, the law, the Ten Commandments. And Joshua was his assistant. Joshua was there on the mount with him. He didn't go up all the way up as Moses did, but he would wait down so far with him. And so as they're coming down, now the Lord had already told Moses what had happened, that the children of Israel had pretty much, they've made a calf of gold and they were worshiping it. And as he's coming down, Joshua makes this comment, Exodus 32 and 17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. The New Living Translation says it sounds like war in the camp. I think that's very much speaks to Joshua's calling, because he was the man of God that led them over into the promised land, and they had to battle the enemy, the Canaanites, constantly. So that speaks to his calling. But the sound of war resonated in my heart all day Saturday. Those words just kind of stuck in my head. And then Sunday I watched a pastor that I watch, and he talked about war, the sound of war in the earth now. In other words, as God is tearing down the strongholds of the enemy, which you've been hearing people prophesy, and we've talked about it in this church for a while, that God is going in and he's battling the enemy. He's taking down the strongholds. And I believe as children of God, we will walk not so much as warriors anymore, because what we're doing is we're just going to go in and minister the victory that we have already received. We're going to become laborers in the kingdom for the harvest. Not that you won't have battles, but so if you want to give a title to this, it's called The Sound of War. The Sound of War. And so in the Old Testament, the sound of battles frequently involved trumpets, shouting, shofar, the horn that they blow, the clamor of armies advancing, the battle cries, the trumpet blasts, the shout of victory, the rallying of troops, the horses, the carriages, marching feet, the hooves, you know, the rumbling of chariots. I mean, it was a very noisy thing to be in a battle. Very noisy. And usually they would start out with a shout or a trumpet. And I just want you to hear some of these sounds so you can get an idea of what it might have sounded like. I don't have one that puts them all together, but I wanted you to hear some of these things if I can get them to play. That's a war horn. That's a war horn. And you might hear some actual trumpets playing, but you would hear the clamor of the cavalry coming. You might hear some sword fighting. We'll see what that sounds like. So it was, war was, had a sound. Anybody that's ever been in war, been in situations, you can identify with those sounds. Brother Kenneth, who is one of our military men, who's actually served during war times, he has very distinct memories of war sounds. If you have been through a car accident, or if you've been around guns where things have been shot, you remember those things. There are things that will come back to your remembrance. Sounds and sights and smells will bring back memories to you of war, of things that you've been through. But in the Bible, war in the New Testament, Old Testament, was very much a physical thing. Very much a physical thing. Some of the ones that I can think of, 2 Chronicles 20, that's the Jehoshaphat, and the armies had come against him. And remember, he went to the temple of God. He bowed down to God, and prophecy came and said that you won't have to fight the battle. I'm going to do it. It's my battle, he says, God says. It's a great one, 2 Chronicles 20. Jericho, Joshua 6, where they went in, they marched for 6 days. Thou saying a word so many times, and on the last time they went, they blew the trumpets and shouted, and the walls immediately fell, the fortified walls. They were at least 3 stories high, if I remember correctly, in modern terms. Gideon, Judges 7 and 8. Remember, he went in with thousands, and God kept saying, you got too many. You got too many. You got too many. You got to get it down. You got to get it down. 300, I think he ended up with. Exodus 17, I like Joshua defeated the Amalekites and his people with the edge of the sword. This is when Moses is up on the mountain and Aaron and Hur is holding his hands up, because every time his hands would drop, the enemy would be victorious. But if he kept the hands up, then the Israelites were victorious. One of my other favorite ones I like to think about is 2 Samuel, and that's David. David, again, was coming against the Philistines, and God told him not to attack them the same way that he had had victory before. He said, come around this way, and when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, one version calls it, then you should advance quickly, for the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. And David was obedient to the word of God, and he came a different way at the enemy. But when he heard the sound of marching in the mulberry trees, could you imagine a heavenly sound like that? The thing that impressed me so much with Joshua hearing the sound of war in the camp, I asked God, I said, does sin have a sound? Does sin have a sound? The sin of Israel worshiping another god sounded like war to Joshua in the camp. When we sin, it is a spiritual war against our heavenly Father. Does he hear it? I'm sure he does. Does it break his heart when his children are disobedient, when they sin? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Another good example of this kind of sound is in Saul's disobedience. 1 Samuel 15, 13 and 14, it says, then Samuel went to Saul and said unto him, blessed are you of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. What Saul was commanded to do was to go in and totally wipe out this country, this nation. Take nothing alive. Not man, not woman, not child, not beast. He was to utterly destroy this nation. And he didn't do it. What happened was they captured the king and they kept the best of the spoils for themselves. And Samuel was told this by God. And if you read 1 Samuel 15, he grieved all night when he heard that Saul had been disobedient. And he goes to Saul and he sees him. And it's funny, when you read this, the chapter, Saul goes into this one place and he sets up a monument for himself. And then he goes down to another place. And so Samuel's trying to find him because God is displeased with him and actually has denounced him as king because of his disobedience. And he's having to chase him down. But Saul is on this high that he's so great and mighty. So he tells Samuel when he sees him, "Oh, blesses the Lord, I have done what God has commanded me to do." But Samuel says, "Then what then is this bleeping of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" His sin had taken a natural voice and was telling on him. Not that God needs that. Saul failed to obey God's command. Our sin will speak in the natural as well as the spiritual. Have you experienced that yet? I'll just tell you one thing. There was a time, there was a musician, a young gentleman, and he was teetering on a sinful life. And he was trying to play in church and be a religious, you know, guitar player or whatever he was doing. But he was living a sinful life. And the woman of God in the church come up to him one day and said, "Your sins have been found out. Your sins have been found out. Don't think that you can get away after God has talked to you and talked to you." Remember what David had to go through when he sinned with Bathsheba? The prophet came to him, told him a story. And he said, "Who is this man? We're going to bring justice to it." And the prophet says, "It is you, David. It is you." So your sin speaks. Despite Saul's motives, Samuel reminds him in verse 22, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burning offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." Saul, when he got called in, and he says, "Oh, we're going to sacrifice it to the Lord. We're going to do it. We're going to give it to the Lord." And then he said it was the people who did it, you know. I'm like, yeah, cool. That's just great. I love that our sin has a sound. It has a sound to God. Isaiah 59, 1 through 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." Sin keeps us from the presence of God. Just like in the garden, do you remember in Genesis 3? It reads, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?'" There was separation already. Where are you? I can't hear you. I can't see you, God says. Where are you? I can't feel you anymore. You have gone from my presence. Where are you? Always reaching, always trying to get to us. always trying to be in our presence, even though sometimes we don't want to be in his. So Adam says, I heard your voice. I just heard your voice in the garden. To me, that speaks to something right there. I just heard your voice. I didn't see you, God. It's a little different today. I heard your voice. And I was afraid. I was afraid. This is what sin does. It brings guilt and shame. It brings fear. And God's not stepping away from you, but you're backing away from him. And therefore, his presence, his face is not in front of you. You are no longer in his face. He said, because I was naked and I hid myself. God, if you read the next scripture, pretty much says, who told you that you were naked? Who told you that? You have always been that way. And you find him doing what actually has to be done. He sacrifices an animal. He takes an animal skin, God does, and covers him. Sheds blood for him and covers him. That speaks to what Jesus did to us. We find ourselves hiding from God. It is difficult to hear him when we step away from him. When we step away from him. I think it's interesting. We think we can keep on sinning and keep on sinning and it's going to be okay. I can still do what I want to do. And what you don't know is that you're putting something in between you and God that is taking you further and further away from the presence of God. It's a noise. It's a sound. Can you hear God talk over that? Can you hear his presence? And the more we sin, the further away we come from him, the louder the noise gets. If I regard or approve or enjoy evil and iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. That's Psalm 66 and 18. Sin has a sound. It's in the busyness of our hearts and our minds with what we want. Oh, I want to do this. I don't care what God says. I don't care what the Bible says about it. I want to do this. I want to enjoy this. This makes me feel good. I want to do this. I want to go do this. This is my will for my life. Why should I care what God says? Why should I do what he said I need to do? And all the time, the noise is getting louder and louder in your head. And you're walking further and further away from him. Because you're doing and going your own way. Sin has a sound. It's a sound of war. Whole time you don't realize that you are fighting for your very life. You're fighting for eternity with him. God is faithful to his word and his promises. His purpose is always good for us. During my studies, I read about how the Amalekites, the country or the nation, had come against Israel. They had attacked Israel in the wilderness as they traveled to the promised land, but they came up on the rear side. It was like the enemy. He wanted the stragglers. He wants the weak ones. He wants the small ones. He wants the ones that have stepped away from the presence. When you put yourself in this situation, not only can you not hear him, but the enemy sees you. Because in his presence, there is strength, there's power, there's protection. His promises are true. He is faithful. He is. Do you remember Job? The devil kept going back to him, say, oh, yeah. take your hand away. I heard a preacher one time say he really didn't take his hand away, but he tightened it up a little closer on Job. Because remember, he couldn't take his life. You can't take his life. I never left him. I still protected him. Because we know what the enemy's, what his ploy is. What's the Bible say? He come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his whole purpose. It ain't to make you happy, make you feel good, give you what you want. It's for you to die and destroy everything that you're associated with eternally. The disobedience of Saul allowed the enemy to contend with Israel. Saul was told to go in and destroy everything. Yet, through the Bible, you will see that the Israelites had to contend with that nation continually because of one man's disobedience. Remember in 1 Samuel 30, one of David's battles, Ziklag, I think, was the city. Him and his warriors had this whole city. This is where he was living amongst his enemy. And they gave him this whole city for him and his warriors and their families and their children. And while they were gone trying to pledge allegiance to this king, the Amalekites came in and burned the city down and took the women and the children and everything and ran with it. Remember, David and the men come back. The men were so angry, they were ready to stone David. And he goes into the presence of God and asks, do we pursue them? Will we be successful? And God says, yes, go. And nothing will be harmed. None of the children were harmed. None of the women were harmed. All the goods were they were taken back. God gave it back to them. It's so wonderful when you're in God's presence. When you don't allow the sound of sin to become a barrier between you and God. God is tearing down the strongholds of the enemy in our lives, our nation, and our world. We will see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the places God has not been welcomed in the past. Can you hear the sound of war? Have you turned on the news lately? Have you listened to, sometimes you have to listen to Christian news, and realize that God is moving in situations. Things are changing even in our nation for the good. For the good. No longer do I have to worry about my children being taught a blasphemy in a public school. That was a triumph for the generations to come. There are so many good things that are happening right now that God is moving and changing in this world. And it's not by a man or a woman. It's by God. He still reigns in this earth. But I want to know. That's what sin sounds like in your life. God says, I have to turn my face from you. Because I'm holy, I'm righteous. And you're choosing another God over me. You're choosing yourself. What was the first thing Jesus said? If any man wants to come after me, deny self. Pick up your cross daily and follow me. Sin has a sound. And you're just stepping away and stepping away and stepping away. And it's harder and harder for you to hear him. And he says, your iniquities will cause me to turn my face from you, and I will not hear. It's not that he don't want to hear you. He still answers the prayers of sinners, right? Yeah, I was one of those. Cried out in sin. But we are choosing to walk away, and the sound and the busyness of all that we want and all that we think makes it better and makes me feel better and all that I desire in my own life that's contrary to God is putting a barrier between us. There is a sound of war in the earth. God is moving in situations that we as humans cannot fix. He's going in and he's tearing down the strongholds. But if you cannot hear his voice because of the sound of war in your own life, how will you operate according to his purpose? There is a sound of war. Do you hear it? Do you see it? If there's something in your life that doesn't add up to what God says it's supposed to be, you're fighting a battle. There's war there. But I beg you, get on your knees and talk to the one that reigns, the one that rules, the one that can make a difference when no man or no woman can. Listen to him. Be victorious in that life. Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you because you are always battling for us. Your intention is always for our good. Help us, Lord Jesus, to align ourselves up with you. Lord, this life is not about me. I don't want you just to be part of my life. I want to be part of your life, Lord. I want to be in your story. I want my life to come in alignment to you and to what you have for me and for the kingdom of God. Help us to walk as people of God. Help us to hear the sound of war. Help us to walk in the confidence that we are overcomers. Help us to lead others to the path of victory in Christ Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Thank you.